Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call Senate Finance Committee to order. It's March 19th, 2019. With me today is co-chair Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Bishop, Senator Wilson, Senator Olson, Senator Machicki, Senator Showers, Senator Wilikowski, Senate President Geisel. We are here today to do a couple items. First, we're going to bring up Senate Bill 38, the Fast Track Disaster Supplemental to deal with earthquake damage. And following that, we're going to have a presentation by ADA. So with that, I'd like to bring up Senate Bill 38. The intent today is to look to the committee for the will of the committee and move this bill along. We've heard it last week and went into some detail of the damage that we have and the need for an appropriation to help with federal assistance. I would like to remind the public that this is just frankly a down payment. We expect possibly 30 to 40 million in requests to come to us in the regular budget cycle later on after we have the spring thaw. And until that spring thaw comes and the foundations and buildings settle, we don't really know the extent of the damage and could be roads. So with that, I'd like to look to Senator Wilson. Senator Wilson, you have a motion?
Yes, Chair Sedman. I move Senate Bill 38, version 31-GS1037/U from committee with individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move the bill from committee. Do we have objection?
I'll object, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One of the questions I have, we had talked about the possibility of getting sole source contracts related to this bill. I was wondering if that had been delivered to the chairman's office.
Could you repeat that straight into the mic so I could, got about half of the question.
Sure. There had been discussion when it was last presented about some of the sole source contracts and they were going to be provided to us. I haven't gotten mine and I was just wondering if it had been submitted to the chairman's office.
We'll have a brief at ease. I don't think so, but I want to check with my staff. Ready? On the record, we have Stephanie Richards from the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, if she could help us with this sole source contract issue, because we haven't received anything, and it was a point of discussion in a previous committee when we had this bill up. Stephanie Richards, could you help Senator Olson with that question, please?
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Senator Olson. You are correct. That was requested, and our Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management is working that. Brian Fisher testified last week that there would be very few instances of those sole source contracts, but I will definitely follow up with our Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management and make sure you get that information that you requested.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Do you have a follow-up question?
I don't have a follow-up question. I just wanted to know if it had been received and it obviously hasn't since that was the only question I had, Mr. Chairman.
So, Ms. Richards, do you have sole source contracts, and how many do you have?
Thank you. For the record, Stephanie Richards, through the chair. I don't know if we do or not. Last week it was indicated that there was criteria when those instances would be allowed. The communities would have to get those pre-approved in advance. There's FEMA regulations as well as state regulations for the procurement. So I don't know without getting that list from our Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management if there were any sole source contracts for the earthquake at this point in time.
And how long will it take for you to respond to the committee, because we're trying to move this along so we can get the funds by the April 1st deadline?
Through the chair, I will reach out to Homeland Security as soon as this meeting concludes and get that information to you. I don't imagine it would take very long.
All right, thank you. We have further questions? We have an objection. Is the objection continued?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'll withdraw my objection.
And the objection has been withdrawn. Is there further objection to move this bill to the next committee referral? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move this bill to the next committee referral, which is the Rules Committee. Next item up, There's a presentation by ADA, Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. We're going to have an update on projects, investment, and cash flow, and we have Mr. Tom Butan, the Executive Director, with us today. If he could come forward, introduce himself for the record, who he represents, and this is the first time Mr. Butan has been here in a while, although a lot of us are familiar with him, but if he could kind of give the public a brief synopsis of his history, work history, and how long he's been at ADA, and then go ahead and go forward with the presentation, please.
Glad to do that, Mr. Chairman. Tom Butan, ADA, and I believe we have on the phone Brenda Applegate, who's Chief Financial Officer of both ADA and the Alaska Energy Authority. Tom Butan, I've worked for government, the state of Alaska government, no other government, two or three different hitches. I had the job that Devin Mitchell has now. I think I had that for 9 years. I was the first one to have that job. And I went from that to the Alaska State Forester job, the job that Chris Mache has now. And
what was the job that Devin Mitchell has?
He's debt manager, state debt manager. And in Department of Revenue, which is a staff to the State Bond Committee. I went from that job to the State Forester job that Chris Mache has now. And then for the 4 years of the Murkowski administration, I had the Deputy Commissioner for Treasury job that Greg here has today. I've been on this ADA job for 5 weeks now. Mostly I've worked in the forest products private sector. I'm a certified forester still. But I was on the board for a total of ADA for a total of 13 years. So I have some familiarity with their programs and hope I'm getting up to date in the current affairs. And with that, and I haven't used one of these, but perhaps this perhaps there's a way to move this ahead. Oh, there is. Okay. Great. This is just a slide of metrics for fiscal year 2018. I guess I'll just say that those numbers, for instance, the $1.3 billion net position, that's an audited number, but it sure takes explanation to really understand what it means. Government accounting, we use the same government accounting the state CAFR does, but it certainly results in some misunderstandings sometimes so far as some of the numbers. I'll get into that a little bit later. That works pretty well. The only thing I'll say about, and just a general slide, showing one of the two credit rating agencies that rate us, the rating, and the revolving fund is explained and shown in detail, that $1.32 billion, and that again is a 6/30/18 number. I do have with me a stub audit balance sheet for 12/31/18, but anyway, that $1.32 billion is not cash, but we do show the revolving fund in great detail in our CAFR. If anybody wants that kind of depth, this is depth. This is just how ADA does business. It's a slide ADA's used for a long time.
Go ahead and continue.
Oh, okay.
I'll take care of the meeting. You just do your presentation.
It's a deal. It's a deal.
At the end of each slide, we'll have questions. Okay. Finish your slide, please, four.
Okay. This.
Let's stop there. That's slide five. So, Senator Olson, you have a question on slide four?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I have a question on slide three. Mr. Bertan, one of the bullet points that you have up there, it says that ADA pays a dividend to the state of Alaska since 1997. So $407 million has been declared.
Yes.
Do you have a breakdown over the last several years?
I sure do. That's a further slide, but that was requested, and so a further slide shows that, and also shows another slide shows cash flows backward and forward.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right. And we'll have that coming up and have questions on that, I'm sure, as we look at the size of the bars. Are there questions on slide three or slide four? Okay, we'll go on and continue.
Yeah, this fifth page just shows that ADA is in every part of our economy. It also says to me that the Alaska economy is very big in the service sector, and we're pretty small in some sectors that you would see in Washington or Oregon or perhaps just about any other state. But obviously it's a pretty subjective kind of breakdown. In commercial property, restaurants, of course, are partly in tourism, and likewise, our aircraft financings are probably in no small part of the tourism business. So it's a subjective breakdown. Slide number six, the one thing it says to me is we have an extremely low number of problem loans, a low number of OREOs, if you will. If we had gone back a year before that, it would have shown a great big write-down for Healy. So this shows what we've been doing this century, and it dodges that Healy write-off, which would have skewed the graph.
And for those watching at home, what is Healy and what kind of write-offs are you talking about?
That's the Healy Clean Coal project that that ADA finally did sell. I don't have the amount. I'd be glad to get back to you with it, but I was on the board when we were selling the Healy Clean Coal project, and it required a great big write-down to get to a price that was amenable.
Okay, so that's a coal generation project in the Fairbanks area that we've been struggling with for a couple of decades. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I have to tell you, the first time I saw the Healy Clean Coal, it was so so much federal money had been put into it, and it had been advertised as such a high-tech project. I expected it to look like the inside of the cabin of a Boeing 747 or something, and instead it was just a coal-generated plant that any pulp mill boiler operator could have walked into and started up and operated any day. It's certainly my belief, and it was my belief at the time, that the problem with Healy Clean Coal was that the trial period used a whole different quality of coal than the plant was intended to use going forward. And so the trial period, which was required for the state to take possession, to me was the rub, that being government, it became political as far as how to do that trial period. And so as soon as the coal that was available right along was used, well, then the pollution controls didn't work.
Okay, Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Chair Stebbink. Can you go back to the previous slide, slide six, please?
I hope I can. No, wrong direction, I'm sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Could you just describe what is projects and what are conduit bonds?
Yes, absolutely. Going from our right, the conduit bond program is a financing program in which ADA doesn't lend any of its credit whatsoever. but just facilitates and sells the debt. We come to the table with our financial advice and our bond counsel, and but throughout the bond documents, the official statement, the bond resolution, which the ADA board passes, et cetera, on just about every page, there's a statement that people buying this need to look at the financial statements and financial information and prospects of the issuer. I think the largest regular user of this conduit revenue bond program is Providence Hospital, but the great big Bethel YK Delta Hospital nursing home and whatnot that was done in fiscal year 2018, I believe, that was a very big one also. But conduit bond program, for whatever reason, has been healthcare in Alaska has been a major user of this program. Back several years ago, a local nonprofit here that had been renting space from Catholic Community Services asked me, as a private citizen, to help them do a nursing home financing, and I looked at ADA, who was going to charge me $15,000 to do a conduit revenue bond with them. It was a $19 million issue. So I used city government, who offered to do it for free. You could argue that was a mistake, but in any event, that's the nursing home that resulted is now called Wildflower Court, and it was an unrated issue. And ADA was willing to do it without looking at the financial statements or any aspect, including the construction or anything. ADA was willing to do that. $19 million issue for a $15,000 fee, but I chose to use the city of Juneau instead.
A follow-up question? Follow-up question?
No, thank you. I appreciate the explanation on conduit loans and then projects.
Projects is really a subjective term. We have in there some loans, for instance, the loan to the Blue Crest drill rig down on the Kenai Peninsula. So it's not all just owned projects. It's also, in some cases, our accounting system gap requires us to, or allows us to use loan projects, loans as also projects, but also ADA is an owner of many projects around the state: the Ketchikan Shipyard, the Skagway Ore Terminal, the Long Mountain Red Dog Transportation Project. So these, of course, all since 2000, but ADA has authorization in the law and does do project financings where it does take ownership, or sometimes is such a large part of the project as a lender that we put the loans under a project category.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
See here. This slide perhaps better explains than I just did the difference between some of our debt programs and our equity programs, and but. Coming under debt are a variety of pretty different programs. Loan participations, ADA has long participated in commercial bank loans, and we do roughly $50 million a year, but some years it's twice that. ADA takes up to a 90% participation. On real estate, it's up to 25 years. On equipment, it can be as long as 20 years. But on average, those loans are repaid, taken out by new debt or owner equity or something. A new owner comes in or something. So on average, they have a duration of only about 7 years. two banks have about 75% of those loan participations, but then the other 25% are shared by just most in banks in the state. Conduit revenue bonds, I explained. I guess if no questions, I'll go on. But those I guess the term today is popular is silos, and those are three silos, if you will, quite subjective of what we of what ADA does.
You had a used the term duration. What are you talking about?
Well, a loan is really a fixed income investment, and duration is a calculation of the it's a way to express the average maturity. And as I said, in our loan participations, we do up to 25 years on a real estate loan, and up to 20 years on other types of loans, equipment loans, but it turns out that the average loan, if you will, is paid off within 7 years in that program.
Time waiting of the cash flow.
Yeah.
Okay. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you just briefly describe how your investment decisions are made? Are they made solely by the ADA board, or do you receive requests from the executive branch?
Over the decades, there have been executive branch directives to do particular projects. I was on the board when Governor Hickel directed the board to buy some Mark Air hangars. It didn't fit ADA's business model, but it was done. I was on the board when we sold the Anchorage fish plant. I wasn't on the board when the fish plant was purchased. During the Walker years, there was quite a bit of involvement in a couple of projects, but I wasn't on the board in that period, and it'd be inappropriate for me to speculate on the level of direction. I don't expect this governor I'm absolutely certain that this governor won't come up with a fish plant or Mark Air hangars or anything that stresses the process. We have a slide too that's coming up. We have a loan committee, and everything goes through that loan committee, but then we do take everything to the board that makes it through the
You can finish your statement.
Yeah, we do take everything through the board that makes it through the loan committee as well.
Senator Wilkowski, you have a follow-up question, then we'll go to Senator Olson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Was it the ADA board's decision to decide to pay off oil tax credits? And what sort of rate of return do you expect to get with that payoff? And if it wasn't your board's decision, whose decision was it?
Well, we haven't taken that to the ADA board. What we have done is come up with 4 to 5 alternatives, which arguably some of them are the same, slight variations on those alternatives. And the administration has talked with the co-chairs of Senate Finance. I was in one of those meetings, but not the other one. And so we've come up with some alternative ways to pay the oil tax credits. I certainly agree that the oil tax credits are due and payable. They're actually listed in the 630-18 State of Alaska CAFR as a liability. But regardless of that, I believe the oil tax credits are due, and I believe that ADA is pretty far along at coming up with a resolution, a way to pay those oil tax credits. And that really is as far as I'll go into it today. But again, we have had meetings with the Senate Finance co-chairs about that, and I think we resolved questions to this point. And we had a board meeting 2 weeks ago, and I was able board meeting to explain to the board where we were at that point. We're a little further along now that been another 2 weeks. We certainly are not under attorneyed in taking a look at what we think we'll be able to do to pay off those oil tax credits, and again, you know, I very much think that those tax credits are due, and for that matter, I very, very much believe that the state needs a balanced budget this year.
Okay. Just for clarity, there's no question that the credits are a liability to the Treasury. That's not in dispute at all. We're trying to come up with a way over the last couple of years to pay those credits down, and they're $800 million owed. As we know, we have discussed and had presentations at this committee before, there has been some preliminary discussions with the co-chairs on the concept of having ADA step in and come up with some mechanism through ADA to get those credits paid off. We actually have a proposal to consider, which we don't, it's a concept conversation this time. ADA will be before us too, and Department of Revenue, to have that discussion here at the full committee to see what the proposal actually is and the pros and cons and what we may do or not do with it. So it's pretty early yet. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Bertan, you talked about the millions of dollars of cash on hand that dated 6/30/18, and then you said there's a more correct statement coming up for the end of the year. As you look at this amount and you look at the governor's proposed payment of the oil and gas credits, don't you think that'll take up most of the money that's the cash reserves that are there, and how much will be available for projects that ADA wants to go ahead and invest in?
Well, right from when the budget was released, we began doing pro forma cash projections, cash pro forma statements, and definitely it motivated us to find alternative ways to do what the administration needs to do, which is pay down those oil tax credits. And still accommodate some of the projects that ADA has underway.
Does it concern you?
Pardon?
Does it concern you?
Well, if the state didn't need people, you know, finding solutions, they'd be not getting a very good return for our salaries.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
We have, for those watching, we have a statutory requirement that calculates, or the requirement to pay a certain amount of credits every year. It's formulated. We intend to have that in the FY20 budget in full. And if there's some alternative solution before we release the budget that we agree on, then we will exercise that option. If not, we will pay the statutory minimum, and it's somewhere around $170 million or some number. And we've, again, had that in front of the committee, so it's not really the focus of the presentation today with ADA as far as a hypothetical a simulation of these credit debt. That'll come at a later date if they're ready, and I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions concerning, you know, that proposal if they come before the committee. There's a couple other steps involved to even get it to ADA. So it's we'll have, I'm sure, an active couple of meetings on the subject. But until then, we're going to continue down the statutory required minimum payment and move forward. And within the next 4 or 5 years, those bonds get paid off. Or excuse me, those credits get paid off, just going through the regular process. So,
Mr. Chairman, can I just make a comment?
Yes, Senator Olson. I know you're just smiling down there. You just can't wait to jump in this one.
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, that in the flavor is such that Mr. Bertan voiced a concern that during the early 90s there was a change in mentality under one of the administrations of purchasing some of the hangar or some of the Mark Air hangars. And I was one of the beneficiaries of that since I went ahead and purchased some of those Mark Air properties out of bankruptcy and was concerned that if that mentality continued and ended well at it, and the concern I had was that if one of the mining companies ran into trouble, that there may be some type, the same type of issue that came up where we're trying to bail somebody out that's having a positive effect on Alaska's economy.
I think a lot of us in the, on the legislative side have concerns that we don't give them white elephants to deal with, and that we all want viable, profitable projects so ADA could pay a dividend and we can add that dividend to a capital budget and we can generate more jobs around the state. So
thank you, Mr. Chair. But,
okay, so let's go on with the presentation.
Okay, page 8, this lists again in a different way what we've issued and in other places we've got what's outstanding. Our commercial lending program had $430 million outstanding on June 30, 2018. I'd be glad to answer any questions. The Section 172 projects, that refers, of course, to part of the ADA statutes, and our projects, project financings fall under that.
Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Chair Steadman. So, Mr. Bertan, I know that you're relatively new on the job, but as part of your analysis or I guess, overview in this first year, have you thought about looking to see how other states are deploying their assets in their own version of state lending programs to see best practices, to look and see if there's other ideas that they may be doing it to attract investment at higher rates, at more successful results? Just curious, I know that the Boston Consulting Group did their, it was not published, but it was under the previous administration, had made an effort, and the report had done pretty significant analysis across the country about what different states are doing. Have you put any thought into looking to see how ADA might improve its programs moving forward under your tutelage?
Well, if I have to answer yes or no, the answer is not yet. Mark Davis, who's an attorney and works for ADA, particularly in the area of project financings, is continually in touch with ADA's counterparts in other states and talks with those people very, very frequently. But I certainly haven't, and I haven't read the Boston Consulting Group report either. I do have a copy of it, but I haven't read it. You know, in government, you can get a lot done if you can stay the heck out of trouble. If you get in trouble, then that takes all your time. And we do have some financings that I'm sure glad that no one expects we could achieve the market, the book value that we show, and those seem to be the result of the executive branch direction, and I've spent quite a bit of time on those. But I haven't done what you suggest, and what you suggest is a great idea. I have a free subscription, which is going to run out in about 6 days, to the Bond Buyer, and that is a great publication for very thorough descriptions of project financings, and I certainly stay in touch with what the credit markets are doing, and in what other states are doing in the way of revenue bond financings and other types of financings, but I definitely should have a better way than I do today of knowing what ADA's counterparts in New England and in other parts of the country do.
Any follow-up?
Thank you.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm concerned about testimony that I'm hearing that you, that ADA over the years has made, taken actions at the direction of the executive branch. Under the statute, you are supposed to be a separate and independent legal entity. So I would request a list of all projects, loans, or other actions that ADA has taken at the direction or request of the executive branch. Can I get that?
I'd be tickled to death to give you a list of that.
Thank you.
Can you go ahead and continue? Senator Schauer.
Just a quick question. Thank you, Mr. Chair. How does ADA determine 9,260 permanent jobs? Just curious what criteria they use to have that number.
Whenever I've been involved or taking a look at how ADA comes up with that number, I thought it was a good, honest effort. It's the direct jobs, the jobs that are employed in a project, and if it's construction jobs, then the year after construction, those jobs won't show up. But the jobs running the plant or whatever are reflected in the appropriate number. So, to the best of my anecdotal knowledge, those numbers are not inflated and are accurate. I will say, unlike the ARM board or the permanent fund, ADA is directed in, for instance, AS 4488020. The purpose of ADA is to promote, develop, and advance general prosperity, economic welfare, to relieve problems of unemployment, to create additional employment by providing various means of financing, and to facilitate the financing of industrial, et cetera. ADA isn't just listing the number of jobs as some kind of puffery to justify its existence. It is directed by law to cure unemployment, as I just read, and provide jobs. So the jobs are an important metric along with return on investment, et cetera, that ADA has to report.
Okay, go ahead and continue.
This slide just gives the flavor of projects that ADA has all around the state. It reminds me, though, that, again, looking at ADA's balance sheet takes some study. For instance, the Snettisham Hydro Project, we have that on our books at $58.5 million, but when the project is paid off, we have no alternative but to sell it to Alaska Electric Light and Power for a dollar. So we carry it for $58.5 million, but there it is. And then just moving to the Ketchikan Shipyard, which ADA also owns, we carry that on the books for $71 million. But if we were to sell it, most of that money would have to be returned to the federal government, and maybe at today's market prices, we'd be talking low seven figures, perhaps, somebody might guesstimate, even though we carry it on the books for $71 million. So, and it's an audited financial statement, and we're required to use the accounting tools we have. But anyway, it just brings to mind that anyone looking at our balance sheet needs to look behind the curtain, and that information is all in our CAFR. It's not obscure. It's easily gleaned out of the CAFR.
Senator Von Imhoff, you have a series of questions.
Thank you, Chair Stedman. So I didn't see the Interior Energy Project here in Fairbanks. Is ADA still involved with that in any capacity?
Yes. As a matter of fact, about 10 days ago, the IGU contacted me. I intend to meet those people. Dan Britton is going to come say hello. It's on my calendar. I can't remember when, but right off. But he sent a letter notifying that ADA that IGU intends to sell $15 million of bond anticipation notes and then take those notes out with bonds. The IGU asked in that letter that ADA agree to subordinate its loan to these bond anticipation notes, and I answered that we could not do that. ADA, under the agreement, does pretty much have to agree to those bans, however, not subordinate to them, but agree to those bans. But I did, in my letter back, give a list of information I would need before I think those bond anticipation notes would pass muster. I don't know much about the project. I followed it over the 4 years of the Walker administration because a good friend of mine had the Treasury Deputy Commissioner job, and he kept me informed about it because there were some machinations and some there was an economic model that seemed to sometimes bring surprise. So I was informed just anecdotally, and I read in the Journal of Commerce and other places whenever they had a story about it. I don't know if that I have here in my folder, my file, and could bring out the current status. But to me, the current status is they're going to sell $15 million of bond anticipation notes, and certainly we'll have to take those out by selling bonds, that's an update.
And how much is ADA into the project for?
Exactly right. I'd have to look, or I could go to a lifeline and ask our CFO. But I'll get back to you with a description both of where we are and where it appears to me that we're headed.
On that project, and we have a follow-up for Senator Von Imhoff.
No, Mr. Chairman, you actually asked. I would like to know how much that ADA is involved with IGU to the dollar figure, yes.
Right, and if you could get back to the committee on a write-up on ADA, not just a sheet of paper with a number on it.
Absolutely, and it is my belief that it was an executive branch-directed project.
Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In May of 2018, Senator Stedman asked for an audit of the Mustang Operations Center 1 a loan that was given, and I'm just curious if you have an update on whether or not that was completed and whether or not the loan was in compliance with state statutes and whether the loan program was offered to other companies.
I think some of that stuff will be answered in the audit, but that is underway dealing with Mustang. So do you have any updates you want to make on that particular issue or not? You don't want to step on your tongue.
Yeah. I guess I'd rather give you that in writing.
That's fine.
Thank you. That's
preferred response. Let's go to the... I know, I see Senator Wilson. I've asked Senator Wilson to wave his arm a little more, yes, and Senator Bishop sometimes, but anyways, Senator Wilson.
Thank you, Chair Sedman. Well, the proposed budget, you know, with looking at the Ketchikan shipyard, does the proposed budget with the Marine Highway System have any negative effect or positive effect on the shipyard there in Ketchikan?
Well, the two ferries are completed, and certainly the Marine Highway is a prospective customer.
I want to rephrase that. It's more than a prospective customer.
Well, sure. Going forward. But I'm not aware of any projection that shows whether the 2020 budget as submitted and the implications that has for the Marine Highways. I'm not aware of any projections that show whether that Marine Highway change in operations of the Marine Highways, what impact that might have. It seems to me that the Ketchikan Shipyard has three upcoming benchmark events in June that are going to have a lot to do with the future of the Ketchikan Shipyard, and one of them Ada is directly involved in, and our board has been directly involved in, and that's a factoring program for 100-foot class vessels that go to the shipyard for repairs, and Ada has a program that's intended to be buying the work through loans. There are two other benchmark items coming up in June. One of them is a large opportunity that the operator at the Ketchikan Shipyard needs to keep close to the vest so they don't generate unwanted competitors, and they'll know in June whether they got that work or not. And then also the operator, Vigor, also has a consultant out looking for additional work and will be reporting in June. So those three answers for the viability of the Ketchikan Shipyard will be available in June. And the only one that Ada is directly involved in, the one I explained, looks quite positive, and it looks like there's quite a few customers, known companies with vessels in Alaska in both the tourism and fishing industries that will take advantage of that and will therefore go to Ketchikan over, say, Ballard, Washington. So that's sort of more of an update of the Ketchikan Shipyard than you asked for.
Well, let me rephrase the question because it seems like a dancer at the table. It's not the Ketchikan Shipyard, it's Alaska Ship and Dry Dock.
Sure.
As I recall. And the construction of that shipyard was to facilitate maintenance of the Marine Highway vessels. The Marine Highway vessels is their base customer. So I'd like you to get back to the committee on the elimination of the Marine Highway and the financial impacts to the state-owned asset, the Alaska Ship and Dry Dock. We have $71 million, as you referenced, you're carrying it on the books, some numbers, so I'd like to have you also in that include the amount that has been invested by Ada, the amount you're carrying it on the books at Ada, and the estimate of the final build-out of that facility, because it's not completed yet. As I recall, it takes about $50 million more to finish completion of that project, so it could hopefully start returning dividends to Ada. But clearly, when you lose your base tenant, it has a significant impact on your financial viability and your ability to be a going concern. So I'd like you to get back to the committee on the elimination of that entity and the financial impact of the Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and what Ada intends to do with an asset in that type of structure.
Mr. Chairman, I'd be glad to do that. The current operator is in there till 2025, And I'll ask them the implications for the ferry system plans underway might be.
You can ask whoever you want and put in your document together. But it would be nice to have that information delivered to the committee. And we are working here to facilitate budget modification to ensure that the Marine Highway goes year-round and stays at a reduced schedule and stays a viable entity. Part of the collateral damage of elimination of that is the Alaska Shipment Write-Off. And anybody that's been around that facility knows that it is a huge portion of the base work of that shipyard. And if you can include that, the percentage of the work at the shipyard from the Alaska Marine Highway versus other customers for the last several years would be appreciated also.
I'd be happy to do that.
We have other questions concerning the broader map. Okay, we go on to slide number 10.
This is a font that escapes me from this distance. Of course, I do have a hard copy of it, but I don't think it's intended for people to read in this next minute or two, but it shows the process that ADA takes every loan application, every project through. We have a formal loan committee that and people, that is ADA people, propose a particular loan and make their best shot and leave the room, and the loan committee formally decides prior to taking anything to the board. It's actually pretty rigorous, and it's been in place for a number of decades, and this describes it.
Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a request, but could I get the project analysis and decision-making process details that you've completed for, or that you do in the future for the issuance of payment for oil tax credits?
Yes.
I think if we can just move beyond that particular subject until we actually have a proposal. Right now it's in concept with ADA, and you can share with Senator Wilkowski and the committee at your will, but to we need to address the issue when we actually have something in front of the committee and an actual policy recommendation. If you want to meet with Senator Wilkowski in his office and go over some of these things, I don't have any issues with that. But at some point, you know, in the future, when we have a policy, we'll bring it in and it to the committee. And as referenced earlier in the committee and this current question and other questions from committee members, we'll have lots of questions for you.
It's a deal, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Are there questions on this slide, Senator Von Imhoff?
Thank you, Chair Steadman. In going back to the slide, okay, in any of your steps, do you require that an operator of a project share its financials on a periodic basis, whether it be semi-annually or annually? Is that part of the loan documents that you close with every project?
No. Our project financings, we have pretty thorough information, and yet, in my view, it can be inadequate. And talking about the what I call the Ketchikan Shipyard, and this chair has a more formal title. For instance, we only see the financial information from the Vigor operation in Ketchikan, but they're a much larger company, and we don't have a way to access, and they're a privately held company. We don't have a way to access financial information as to how the company as a whole is doing and how Ketchikan fits in with their much larger operations in other parts of the country. And that's per the agreement that ADA has had with this particular operator right from whenever that began. And I don't remember off the top of my head when that began, but the chairman may.
A follow-up?
Thank you. So just to be clear then, for each one of your projects, you do have the ability to monitor the books on a periodic basis for the project and the operator for that specific project in Alaska. Is that correct?
I believe that is correct. I've reviewed financial information for most of the large operations since in the 5 weeks I've been on board. But again, it can be incomplete information, as I just explained, regarding the Ketchikan shipyard.
Thank you.
I think it's the Alaska Ship and Dry Dock.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Should use the formal names and not keep things clear at the table what we're actually talking about. We have further questions on this slide. Next slide, please.
And this was requested, showing the dividend history.
If we can stop there before you run off on this slide. There's, I assume you were done. That was your comments of the slide, or were you going to take us through an explanation of it?
Well, I'm not sure what explanation is required. It's in thousands of dollars.
Right. Let me put it to you a little more bluntly. Unless I turn this thing backwards and look at it from the backside, it looks like 29,400 is a bigger number than 10,000. Can you explain that to the committee, what's going on in your 2010 to 2019?
I must be missing. The aggregate amount is $407 million.
The question is, in 2010 there was 29,400 in dividends. In 2019, 10 million. Is there a difference in those numbers, and why is there a difference?
Well, it's a calculation pretty much set in statute, and on January 10, as required by law, ADA sent to the legislature January 10, 2019, how that was calculated, and I've just opened that up. It says the authority determines that the amount of excess unrestricted assets that may be made available for fiscal year 2020 is $10,285,000 under statute 4488088. This is 31% of the fiscal year 2018 statutory net income. And there's quite a bit of background in that January 10th 2019 letter to the legislature.
So the question, two questions, and then the committee members, I know there were some flags up, but I was busy asking a question, so I'll have to come back to the order of the questions. But could you help the committee understand why there's a decline in statutory net income? Kind of fill us in a little bit, and then the dividend portion comes to the state, could be up to 50%, and I think in this year's budget it's 31. Why that's not 50 and instead of 31 on the return? And
well, I guess I'd better give you a written comprehensive answer to that. I don't have the background on the top of my head going back to when the dividends were approaching in 1 year $30 million or for quite a while. You can see there's been variability, and so looking at going back to why the earnings were higher in previous years, I'll have to get back to you. I don't have that off the top of my head.
Normally, the trend is your friend, or sometimes your enemy in the financial world, and the trend looks down. So if you could help in your response back to the committee. on your viewpoint, why the trend for the last decade is down, and what ADA thinks is coming attractions coming at us. If this slide was alone in isolation, I would definitely be concerned that if this trend doesn't turn around, it'll quickly become close to zero. So if you could help us with your explanation, not only in the look back from 2010, or if you want to pick another year back in there, 8, 7, whatever, kind of a synopsis of the statutory net income of ADA, what's driving it and what may be hindering it, and then there's the split to the dividend that, or the statutory net income that comes to the state for or the finance table here for inclusion in the normally in the capital budget for other projects would be helpful. So we have a series of questions. We have a series of questions. The table, who was up first? We'll go to Senator Machicki first.
Thank you, Mr. Rutan. You know, we talk about jobs and dividends. Obviously, ADA has served as sort of a political finance organization at times. I guess questions I would have is, as an independent development capital financing organization, is ADA diversifying our economy? Are solid, sustainable projects happening that would not have occurred otherwise? And I guess the question I ask is, do you have a different vision for maximizing what ADA can do for Alaska? I think lackluster would probably be the word I would use over time. Had the seed money been invested in a moderately performing index fund, it would have had a superior return to the state. I'm just wondering if you have a vision for a better outcome and what that might look like.
Well, through the chair, Senator Machicki, I honestly don't think ADA has been lackluster. I was actually one of the three people, along with Bert Wagnon, who had the job I have now, and Ron Lear, who was executive director of AHFC, three of us sequestered ourselves in a room back in about 86, I think, and came up with the Long Mountain Transportation Revenue Bond Financing documents. We were pretty unsophisticated, but it seems to have persevered. Those bonds were taken out much more recently as the financing matured. But that project, for instance, returns 6.5% to ADA every year. And obviously it allowed a borough to be formed, and that mine supports that borough. You look at ADA, you see objectives beyond maximizing return for risk. If you look at the trust funds that the ARM board manages or the permanent fund trustees, it's pretty clear what their objective is. But ADA has a patient capital kind of objective. It's private equity without the clear objective to just maximize return in dollars. And so a good example is this Palmer project outside of Haines, Constantine Mine. ADA's probably going to put some seed capital into that. The project the deposit, if you will, is quite a bit larger right now than the Greens Creek deposit was at this stage of its development. And it's going to be the largest contributor to the Mental Health Trust Authority land office returns when it gets going. It's probably 3 to 4 years away. It was a very encouraging lawsuit judgment on Friday, by the way, SEAC versus Constantine. So there's an example where ADA is probably going to be asked to put in some money, but the return to ADA will be a different result than if ADA was, for instance, a minerals private firm in minerals, or an investor in equities of mining companies. So I honestly, if you look at the complexion of the returns that ADA receives, in its liquidity right now, we're earning about 1.7%. It's short duration treasuries really is where we are. You look at our commercial lending program, what would that have? I think it had maybe $439 million outstanding in commercial loans in 6/30/18. I got it here, I think I said it earlier. That's returning about 4.5% right now. And then at the upper end, you have some of these projects, which I can list what the rates of return are from the CAFR. So
we can go on. You can get back to the committee on and wrap that kind of into the previous question of the trend. If this trend was reversed, if 2019 happened to be 2007, and 2007 was 19. You'd have a different series of questions coming down the table because the trend would be favorable. So if you can just help us understand that so we don't draw erroneous conclusions from just the one slide. We have other questions. Excuse me, Senator Wilikowski had a question on slide 11.
I do, and it's a sort of follow-up to Senator Stedman's question. Just on the returns, looking at 2019, you have $1.32 billion in assets, and that's less than a 1% dividend, and 2018 is less than a 0.5% dividend. Are my numbers correct?
No.
That's not less than 0.5% in 2018?
No, you're looking at the dividend as the total return on ADA's assets.
I think what we can do, you can get back to the committee with the answer to that question, and you can do a return on asset analysis with your question or your response on the slide, and put that in a comparative, or not a comparative, but put that in more of a easier to understand a methodology showing what you actually divide by to get the return, your dividend or your return on assets or whatever matrix you want to show us, good and bad for that matter.
Yeah, I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. Other questions on slide 11? Seeing none, slide 12, please.
This is just the... This is the Finance Committee, and it's a budget hearing, and those are the numbers we need to look at. The travel amounts are before the Governor Dunleavy direction to cut travel in half, and so I'll say that. The positions, recently I just looked at the filled positions, and so this isn't total to 82, but ADA had 18 positions, the Energy Authority had 22, and then we had 33 shared positions. And so this 82 number, which is total authorized numbers, that's both ADA and the Energy Authority. And the bulk of the positions, accounting, purchasing, IT, are shared between ADA and the Energy Authority, and this table reflects that.
So can you give the committee an idea over the last several years, or you can get back to us on the historic line item for travel?
I'd be glad to do that.
Okay. Questions concerning this slide? Senator Wilikowski.
Yeah, just want to make sure I understood. The personal services, is that's employees? You said you had 18 positions for $11.9 million. Did I understand that correctly?
No. The The 82 positions are are almost half shared positions between the Energy Authority and, if I understood your question, and ADA. And but the total positions at 82, and you can divide the personal services by gotcha. By 82.
Thank you.
Okay. Next slide.
And then this is just, as it says, fiscal year 19 highlights. As I mentioned, we usually do about $50 million a year in commercial loans, and you can see that through January we've almost approached that. Commercial loan cash inflows, you can calculate what the percentage is. Right now we're at about 4 point, as I said a few minutes ago, we're at about 4.5% interest rate on those loans. They tend to be small and quite expensive to service just because of the size of them. And then that projection is just an estimate of what we'll have done by the end of the year for project finance fundings.
Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How much of ADA's assets or funds are not currently loaned or invested for ADA's statutory purposes?
There's a number of ways to answer that. And
you can get back to the committee on that so we have a more detailed response would be better.
Yeah,
be and then
to do that.
On slide 13, you have four components broken out. So this is I assume this is the vast majority of your revenue stream, these four categories?
No. They're not, but I'd be glad to give you a breakdown.
Okay. And if you could roll that breakdown and parse it into the earlier question on the decline in the dividend slide?
Certainly.
So it all kind of goes together as a package. Any other questions on slide 13? Next slide, please.
And then this is our attempt to answer the question that was asked of us that we provide today, cash flows looking backward and forward. And this is a pretty complicated slide. The slide just following it is footnotes to this particular slide. The amounts in the projections are just the projects that we already have committed. They're not the projects that we expect to commit to and bring to the board and have approval. The $10 million that you see in parentheses, that's just a guesstimate of what the dividend might be. It'd be very easy to for anybody to read more into this slide than it really can show. But it is, we were asked to show backward and forward cash flow. For purposes of looking at the oil tax credits, we've done much more comprehensive cash flow projections. And in there, we've debated and put the projects that we anticipate and the costs that we anticipate those projects will have, including the Palmer project and the Ambler project and a call on some on our Blue Crest loan for more cash and et cetera. But this does not do any of that.
Okay, so we'll have you bring that data back if we actually have a proposal to deal with the tax credit issue. We'll have you come forward with that cash flow analysis, and we'll talk about it at that time. We have any other? Senator Wilkowski.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just looking forward in the 5 years going forward, it looks like there's much reduced activity, and I'm just curious why that is.
Well, that's an area where answering this question is quite deficient. No, we know there'll be projects out there. We have quite a few projects in the pipeline, and none of those are reflected because they haven't been approved by the board, and are quite, you know, in many cases are quite a ways from being approved by the board, and so that's why it looks like in effect, if you look backward to everything that we did and look forward to just those things that are underway, which this cash flow projection does, then this really is sort of a shutter down kind of projection as opposed to a going concern kind of projection.
Senator Wilson, then Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. One of those proposed projects that the board hasn't quite yet considered, is that part of the South Denali Highway project or South Denali project?
That's on the horizon, but it sure is just in conceptual form, but that that road is certainly on the horizon and has been discussed by individual board members.
Thank you.
Okay. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Morning, Mr. Gutein. Could you restate that? I don't think I heard you right. You said prospectively going forward, this looks like a shutter down kind of a budget?
Well, it does, because we don't put in projects in the future that we know are going to happen, but we didn't put them into this cash flow at all, to answer the question that was asked.
Follow up?
Yes.
So we're getting to the end, and I'll just go ahead and ask my questions. What's the vision for ADA going forward under this administration, and what's your top three projects that you might be looking at prospectively going forward?
Well, the first project that's likely to happen is this Constantine Palmer project outside of Haines. It's the one that's 3 to 5 years. The Ambler project, the draft EIS will be out in August, and the record of decision in December, and the federal shutdown doesn't seem to have slowed it down. ADA will have put $17 million into the project by then of cash. From that point onward, either more ADA cash will be required, or it will become a revenue bond funded project. And that's any number of years away. We just last Friday, I think, got a very comprehensive Freedom of Information Act request from trustees of Alaska. We're certainly, no project of that size is going to likely escape some kind of potentially protracted litigation. So when that is, I don't know. But it's certainly a $200 million kind of project, and it's on schedule, but the number of years that a project of that size requires nowadays with the public process, particularly where federal land is involved, is very prolonged, and we know that from different projects like Donlin Creek, where ADA doesn't have involvement, but how long has that been going on? So, so those are two projects that are underway. Smaller projects, we're going to receive a request for a second request for the Icy Strait Point, a second dock at Icy Strait Point.
That's fine, Mr. Chairman. I get it. Thank you.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you talked about the Ambler District, thanks for addressing that. One of the projects that's going on in my district has to do with Graphite One and the graphite deposit that's there in the between Nome and Teller. Are you up to speed, or have you gotten an application for that project as well?
I don't believe, through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't believe we have, or I would know more about it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Bertan, last year we did pass House Bill 119, which changed the way ADA's dividends are calculated. The intent of the bill was to have ADA's dividend better reflect the cash-based realized net income of the funds from which ADA's dividends are paid. And the bill adds a definition for mark-to-market and amends the definition of net income and unrestricted net income. So my question is going forward, I'm assuming that your fiscal year 2021-22 reflects House Bill 119 in these calculations.
I don't think it does. I think the $10 million is a placeholder, and we haven't gone through an exercise of mark-to-market, which would be quite markedly different. So no, this $10 million a year does not reflect a change in that change, and instead it's a placeholder amount.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I think if you could, when you get back to the committee with a new cash flow estimate using the factors in House Bill 119, because you had made a comment earlier about the Alaska ship and dry dock being listed valued of about $70 million or so, but you felt that it would be, if it was marked to market, the low seven figures, if I recall correctly what you said earlier.
Yes.
And that is material. And if your map on slide 9 lists several other instances of that, it could be it could affect how your cash is calculated or your dividend is calculated. So I think it might be interest to the committee to have this slide restated. Slide this one right here.
Yeah, we certainly can do that. Bear in mind cash flow and market rates of return are two different metrics.
Correct, but when you get back to the committee, make sure you take into account the implementation of the bill that was just referenced. 119, is that correct?
Correct.
119.
Yes.
And if there is perceived problems with the implementation and or the direction of that legislation, feel free to make comments on that.
I certainly would, but actually I think it's pretty clear, and I think for purposes of the owners of ADA, the Alaskans, I think mark-to-market is a worthwhile exercise.
Mm-hmm. Other questions on slide number 14? Speeding on to slide number 15, which is in conjunction with 14, I guess. If any comments you want to make on...
Yeah.
On this slide, please.
I jotted down quite a few extraneous notes. Bluecrest, which I had mentioned earlier today, and the Blood Bank are loans, but we put them in as projects under our 172. I guess of all my notes, that the rest don't seem to be rise to the importance of talking about them here.
Does committee members have any questions? They may or may not agree with you. Okay. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The project on Bluecrest, you classify that as a loan. how much of that is, have you received in assurances? What was their collateral?
I'd want to list those for you. We have it on the books at $28.2 million, and as the loan amount right now, and as far as the collateral, I better get back to you on that because I don't have that memorized. I'm sure I do have it
right
here.
You can get back to the committee on the status of that, the collateral, the viability of the collateral, and the status of the loan.
Yeah, I'd be glad to.
We have other questions? Any other projects for Ada? Any other questions before we let Mr. Butan off the hot seat? It's probably getting a little warm today from time to time. Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for coming forward to the Finance Committee. I know you've served many, many years in public service for the state and certainly appreciate it. And now you're at the helm of Ada, and we want to see Ada successful for economic development around the state and job creation and a little bit of dividend stream to the Finance Committee is appreciated, of course, to help us generate other jobs. So we're always interested in that discussion. And the sooner you can get back to the committee with the questions presented, the better. And we will go from there. We'll disseminate it out to the members, and we may have follow-up questions. With
Thank
that,
you,
that'll,
Mr. Chairman.
That'll conclude the meeting today. We have tomorrow morning, which is Wednesday, we'll have two bills up, Senate Bill 41, Number of Superior Court Judges, Senate Bill 54, Alaska Railroad Corporation Land Transfers. So we'll be having hearings on those at the committee starting at 9 a.m. Thanks, everybody, for coming. We are adjourned.